Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. Thank you for your patience and understanding as we found it necessary to cancel our in-person services last week due to the cold and to the snow. Interesting fact, if you added up all the temperatures in a seven-day forecast last week, you would still have a number well below freezing. Go figure that one out. That was a tough week we had. So I'm sure we're all happy to have a balmy 39-degree temperature later today. And kind of hidden in all of this was the absence of an Ash Wednesday service this past week. But with the coronavirus social distancing requirements, well, we can't even shake hands, let alone apply ashes to your foreheads. So that service had to be foregone as well this year. However, Pastor Dennis wrote a very nice Ash Wednesday meditation. It was sent to our email distribution list earlier this week, and later today we'll also post that on our website and our Facebook page for those who may not have easy access to email. There's also a few copies on the back table, and you're welcome to grab one as you leave this morning. Lastly, folks, please welcome Ken Rimmert, who carpooled with Lenora this morning. And Ken will be leading our music ministry while Andrew and Raina are spending some time with their family in Florida. Good morning, Ken. Great to have you with us this morning. Would you lead our call of worship, please? Let's stand together and say, sing and shout for joy, people of Israel. Rejoice with all your heart, Jerusalem. The Lord will take delight in you. And together we say, and in his love we will give you new life. Let's sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 517, stanzas 1 and 4.
Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take a place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, Lord, and praise.
We would bow for a moment of prayer. Eternal God, we're grateful for the gift of warmth, for our warm homes, for electricity, and for heat. We find comfort that when we turn on our light switch, we will see light. And when we turn on the water faucets, we will receive the gift of life-sustaining water. We also find comfort in knowing that our weather will get warmer, that spring will come, and that grass will grow, the trees will soon have leaves, and the flowers will soon bloom. Loving God, we're especially grateful for our time together here in your house this morning, for our ministry of music and of teaching. We thank you for the leadership of Berry Christian Church. And we pray now for your holy presence through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the living presence of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
World without end.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you before taking your seats.
Joy to see each of you in the Lord's house as we're privileged to gather together here once again. A number of people for us to remember in prayer as we make our way through the new week. Joan Casebolt has discovered that she's going to be going into the hospital for esophageal and also a colon surgery at the same time. And this will be on Monday, the 1st of March, so a week from tomorrow. So please keep Joan in your prayers. We also want to keep Jerry and Betty Donahue's friend Karen Davis in prayers. He is dealing with leukemia. Stacy Lustig, whom we lifted up a couple of weeks back, Lana Witten's daughter, Missy, down in Oklahoma, it's her friend. She has discovered that there are some additional concerns with regard to the throat cancer she's been dealing with, so that's very significant for her. And Ruth Ann is asking us to continue to remember our sister-in-law, Dolores, in prayer, as certainly we also lift up Rihanna, Ruth Ann, every day. And we're grateful that J.C. Simpson is making progress after surgery. We continue also to remember John Adams and Jerry Treese as they are working through treatments for some cancer concerns. Betty Foster has been in rehabilitation. Mike Ransdell was in worship a couple of Sundays ago and making good progress after surgery. Kirby's, we keep them in prayer. And Sonia Rader is also making very good progress after surgery. I am delighted to report that there's absolutely no one new on the coronavirus list. Praise God, we'd like to keep it that way, wouldn't we? Everybody who has experienced it in the realm of our congregation is making good progress now, getting beyond it. We pray that that's going to continue to be the case as we step forward through the new weeks. Cindy Sexton, stepmother Carolyn's in our prayers. Pat Reese, Michelle Jacobo, certainly others in our midst as well. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are once again privileged to assemble in your house to offer you worship and praise. Here in your house, we find respite from the cares of the day, encouragement in our fellowship with one another, and joy through the hymns we sing. The assurance of warmer weather brings a sign of relief as millions of our fellow citizens have endured failures in the delivery of basic necessities that we so typically take for granted. Amid the pandemic, the subsequent downturn of the economy, riots in the streets, fires in our western states, questioning the election results, we now also add a deep freeze condition to regions unaccustomed to these conditions. Yet we've grown weary of the unprecedented, as we may hope for the ordinary. Through it all, though, O God, may we find genuine assurance in your great love for us and your desire to be up close and personal with each of us, your children, no matter what circumstances we may endure as we plod through life in our fallible and imperfect world. May we remember with assurance the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And as your Son and our Savior expressed your great love as he embraced the children, rendered mobility to the lame and sight to the blind, may we rest in the assurance that Jesus also reveals your great compassion and love for each of us today." This be our prayer, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In the summer of 1951, on a golf course in Northern California, songwriter Johnny Lang was struck by the beauty that surrounded him. On one side, he had the beautiful snow-capped mountains, and on the other side, the endless blue ocean, all surrounded by this gorgeous blue sky. And he pulled out his golf card and started jotting down these words. As the game progressed, he said these words kept coming to him, and he kept writing them down. A few days later, he put those words to music, and this is what he had. Who made the mountain? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers flow to the sea? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who makes the flowers bloom in the spring? Who wrote the song for the robin to sing? And who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long, keeps you company, with love to guide you. He walks beside you just like he walks with me. When I am weary, filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? And who gives me faith that will never die? Somebody bigger than you and I. Somebody bigger than you and I.
Good morning. Someone once said, make sure you want to hear the answer before you ask the question. This is certainly true when it comes to speaking with children. When I speak with them, some children are a bit shy, but mostly they're very open and honest, sometimes a bit too honest. This week I spoke with Brooks, Ivy Joe, Molly, and Kit to find out what has been happening for them since the onset of the coronavirus. These children have always been homeschooled, so virtual school is just part of their norm. They all think homeschool is the best. Brooks says it's because there is no principal and no bullies. Ivy Joe thinks it's because she gets to learn Jesus' way. Molly just likes learning with her siblings, and Kit just giggled when I spoke with her. She is, after all, the class clown. Those are Mom's words, not mine. Each of the children express in their own way how thankful they are to be with each other, learning and sharing their days. Brooks watched almost all of the Biden inauguration, and I asked him about it. He thought it was pretty interesting, even though he said Biden was not his pick for president. They don't worry about the virus because they feel safe in their home with their family and Jesus. Bible study is an important part of their days, but they do miss Sunday school and children's church with their friends. Brooks misses playing outside. Ivy Joe misses everything. Molly is not sure what to miss because she would be starting anew in children's church as she's been in the nursery up to this point. And again, Kit just giggled. Hugs, hugs, and more hugs. That is the first thing they want to do when we return to full services. Oh, and about that honesty thing I mentioned, Before I said goodbye, Ivy Jo informed me that she was very glad that I did not try to do a video chat or FaceTime, because if I had, they wouldn't have been able to talk to me. I have to admit to being a bit taken aback by that at first, but then she explained that the reason was because Kit didn't have her pants on. Such a two-year-old thing to do. This family seems to be doing a pretty good job of living by the principle in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Kathy. I remember meeting the Miller family, I think it was about two kids ago, maybe three. I've always been in awe of them as they raise their kids and also provide the homeschooling. I'm not sure I could have the patience and stamina to have done that with my two children, and they have four. May God bless them with an eternal abundance of blessings. Today's community reflection is inspired by the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 10 and 13. The book of Isaiah is one of comfort and protection and of forgiveness and redemption. With these themes in mind, may we turn to the community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. The Lord God says to us, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you." I am the Lord your God. I strengthen you, and I tell you, do not be afraid. I will help you. Number 578 is our hymn of contemplation. I need thee every hour. We will sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Share with you this morning comes from the book of Exodus. It's the 32nd chapter, verses 7 through 14, a rather unusual text here. Moses had been on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments when the Lord said these words. The Lord said to Moses, "Hurry and go back down, because your people whom you led out of Egypt have sinned and rejected me. They have already left the way that I am commanding them to follow. They have made a bowl out of melted gold and have worshipped it and offered sacrifices to it. They are saying that this is their God who led them out of Egypt. I know how stubborn these people are. Now don't try to stop me. I am angry with them and I am going to destroy them. Then I will make you and your descendants into a great nation." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why should you be so angry with your people whom you rescued from Egypt with great might and power? Why should the Egyptians be able to say that you led your people out of Egypt planning to kill them in the mountains and destroy them completely? Stop being angry. Change your mind and do not bring this disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember the solemn promise you made to them as you would give them many descendants, as there are stars in the sky, and to give their descendants all that land you promised would be in their possession forever. Verse 14 then says, so the Lord changed his mind and did not bring on his people the disaster he threatened. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're grateful for the privilege to once again gather in your house to call upon your word for guidance, to experience our fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to truly understand your great comfort and love for us. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. As I mentioned in the pastoral prayer, the emergence of warmer weather brings a sign of relief, as millions of our fellow citizens have endured failures in the delivery of basic necessities such as electricity, drinkable water, food, and safe housing, those things which we take for granted typically. Amid the pandemic, the subsequent downturn of the economy, riots in the streets, fires in our western states, and questioning election results, we now add a sixth variable to this last 11 months, the enduring deep freeze conditions to regions unaccustomed to such weather conditions. Surely, it has been an 11 months of unprecedented circumstances experienced over this very short course of time. We've grown rather weary of the unprecedented, have we not? We hope for the ordinary. Yet through it all, may we believe that our loving God does abide with us, desires to have an up-close and personal relationship with every one of us, despite whatever circumstances we may endure. Continue to plod through life in this fallible and truly imperfect world. In biblical times, God journeyed with his people, providing unprecedented provisions and assurances. And I especially think this is true as he led the Hebrew people out of Egyptian bondage into the wilderness. God freed the Hebrew people from Egyptian slavery. He loved them. Deuteronomy chapters 7, verses 7 and 8 declare, the Lord did not love you and choose you because you outnumbered other peoples. You were the smallest nation on earth. But the Lord loved you and wanted to keep the promise that he made to your ancestors, and that is why he saved you by his great power, you free from slavery to the king of Egypt. God wished to forge the Hebrew people into a great nation, dearly loved, as Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 tells us, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. We know that in the course of those circumstances, God parted the Red Sea so that people could pass over the dry land and into safety and freedom from their oppressors. God provided manna in the desert and water from the rock. Yet sadly, even as the Hebrew people had already experienced God's miraculous power and provision offered for their salvation and for a positive future, when there was a pause in all the unprecedented experiences, God's people became restless and rebelled. We know from Exodus chapter 20 and also Deuteronomy chapter 5 that it was on Mount Sinai that God provided the Ten Commandments through Moses. But in the first part of Exodus chapter 32, of which a portion was our reading for this morning, the first verse tells us, when the people saw that Moses had not come down from the mountain, but was staying there a long time, they called upon Aaron and said to him, we do not know what has happened to this man Moses who led us out of Egypt. So make us a god to lead us. We're really not certain how long Moses stayed on Mount Sinai that first go-round. The text doesn't really tell us. Possibly it was about 40 days. Because we also know from Exodus 34, verse 28, that when Moses returned to Mount Sinai for the second time to get that second copy of the Ten Commandments after he broke the first in frustration from the people's disobedience, the text tells us Moses stayed on Mount Sinai with the Lord 40 days and nights, eating and drinking nothing. He wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. But however long Moses stayed on Mount Sinai the first time, we know that the people, as Moses was absent, grew restless. They were bored as they experienced the ordinary, bored with having to wait on Moses and wait on God. And in asking Aaron to fashion out a golden calf, the Hebrew people were actually reverting back to the pagan worship of the Egyptian god called Apis, a pagan god from their past experiences, because it's like, well, that's what they knew, right? The former slaves of Egypt were rebelling against Moses and God, despite all that God had already revealed to them of his great power, his provision, and his love for them. The behavior of the Hebrews during even the earliest times in the Sinai Desert revealed just how fickle we human beings can be. Even after experiencing such great miracles from God as the plagues in Egypt that revealed God's superiority over the Egyptian gods, the parting of the Red Sea that offered them safety, the appearance of dew. You would think that they could have easily now waited on Moses and God's instructions. After experiencing so much that was unprecedented, why was it that they were so bored, if you will, and revert back to sinfulness? It's no wonder that we see God appearing to be so exasperated as he says to Moses in Exodus chapter 32, verses 9 and 10, I know how stubborn these people are. Now don't try to stop me. I'm angry with them and I'm going to destroy them. And then I will make you and your descendants into a great nation. In churches I've served, preparations for children's activities would often consume several hours, if not entire days. Preparations for events that would last only a couple of hours. Hours upon hours of preparation were put into PowerPoint presentations, discussions, crafts, and games, all in an effort to offer sound, biblically centered messages in hopes that the children would find the experience is to be interesting, informative, memorable, and beneficial for their spiritual journey. Yet on a number of occasions, as these events would get underway, some of the children would quickly stop participating and say, I'm bored. How easy it is when things appear less than absolutely extraordinarily exciting to simply declare boredom. How easy it was for me and other leaders to feel exasperated by the children's response, given the level of preparation for what the children had no appreciation or understanding for. Like God's response to the Hebrews in the wilderness, How easy it would have been to declare, I'm done with these efforts. I'm done with these children. And even as a parent, possibly you know how that feels. Yet, despite the fickle ways of the Hebrew people, God still chose to abide with them. God's love for we folks of this human predicament has prevailed through the centuries and prevails even today. We remember that God still chose to dwell among the Hebrews with the literal presence of His Spirit upon the covenant box. Exodus chapter 40 tells us, "Then the cloud covered the tent, and the dazzling light of the Lord's presence filled it. And during all their wanderings, they could see the cloud of the Lord's presence over the tent during the day and a fire burning above during the night." And when the Hebrew people became accustomed to trusting in God's guidance, Numbers chapter 9, verses 22 and 23 tell us, "Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year or longer, as long as the cloud remained over the tent, the Hebrew people did not move on. But when God lifted it, and they moved on. And they set up camp and broke camp in obedience to the commands which the Lord God gave through Moses." We know also that God created for the Hebrews in the wilderness and for generations that came after them. And as the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy describe, there are routine practices designed to help God's people find meaning and purpose, even during the most ordinary of times and through routine experiences. Through the centuries, the Hebrew people, as they became the Jews and then eventually the Church of Jesus Christ, evolved meaningful understandings and expressions of special events such as Advent, Christmastide, Lent, and Easter. And of course, we're now in the season called Lent, are we not? These events then and now celebrate God's wondrous and unprecedented intervention into humanity's existence through the Passover, the Exodus, and ultimately through Christ's birth, death, resurrection, and ascension, so that we can have for us that pathway for our redemption. These events truly are unprecedented, are they not? But even when these special events are over, God's people then also experience what is called in some faith groups ordinary time. And for those of you who may have grown up in the Catholic Church, for example, you'll hear the expression, ordinary time. One might think that ordinary time means routine, and thus, as the children would say, we're bored with things that are ordinary. But the fact is, the word ordinary has a Latin origin that actually means counting time. Even in ordinary time, as we are going about our activities in normal, ordinary ways, there really is nothing boring about it, for we are counting our days to the next event of God's presence among us, and we are constantly reminded that God is always abiding with us each and every day, even as we count. Here we are in the season of Lent, and we are counting our way toward Easter and the miraculous celebration of Christ's victory over sin and death. Yes, we've experienced a significant number of unprecedented events, even as the pandemic of what will be called the pandemic of 2021 extends ever onward. But even as we hope for a return to routine activities, let us always be on guard for our tendency to exclaim, we're bored with the ordinary. May we find great comfort in the truth that whether the times that we are experiencing be unprecedented or whether they be ordinary, God's presence and His great love always abides with us, grants us comfort, guides us, and gives us strength. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, today's your day to come forward and accept Christ in the way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." We'll sing all stanzas of the hymn. Each of you in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you journey forward with the new week. May you always know that God's presence is with you day by day. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to know you and to journey with you, and for this we give thanks, for we know we have assurance in your Spirit's guidance with us day by day. It's in Christ's name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Peace.